On today's Compassion Radio.
The gospel can explode. We just have to position ourselves to be in those environments because, as you know, they're very difficult. There's a lot of pushback. There's a lot of hostility. There's a reason why for 2,000 years there's places in the world that don't have access to the gospel. We just have to be willing to pay the price.
Welcome to this edition of Compassion Radio, where we're always on the front lines of faith. But when the battle seems to be raging all around, which direction do you go to face the fight instead of spinning in circles? The simplest answer is to look the same direction that Jesus does. He never shirks his responsibility, nor is he at a loss about what to do. He's proven himself before, so we can trust him now. And that, my friends, is a very good thing. We need some good news stories these days, and we've finally been able to connect with one of our key partners in ministry today. We often say that we highlight the people who go where others fear to tread, and that's certainly true of today's guest. When others are running for cover, he was running to the places where God's word was needed most. If you need courage today, you're about to get a full dose of it. Thanks for tuning our way today. I'm delighted today to be able to circle back around to one of our best friends to this ministry and someone we've had a real privilege and an honor to partner with a number of times in the past few years, Greg Kelly of World Mission up there in Grand Rapids, Michigan. Welcome back to Compassion Radio.
Thanks, Brent. It is always a joy to be with you, brother.
And I hope it's a joy because joy is our strength in times like these. It's been an interesting for you in the past month, and I want to talk about where you've been, where God brought you to, and those serendipities, those windows of opportunity God gives you in spite of all of the massive disruptions on this planet. God put you in some important places to encourage the church, to bring the gospel forward in ways that probably would not be thinkable in situations like this, and yet you were there. So let's talk about that a little bit. First of all, tell me where you've been in the past month.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy, Bram, when you think about this, because normally for me when I'm traveling, it's months and months and months out, sometimes a year in advance. And that was the case with my most recent trip to Southeast Asia, where I spent time in Bangladesh just before the virus really broke on a global level. And then I spent a week after that in Nepal when things were really dicey. So although I wasn't inundated with the deluge of media and didn't have access, which is probably a good thing.
Probably so.
Things were happening, but everybody around me, you could sense it. Everywhere we went, there's no doubt that its presence was there.
We're not talking about how COVID-19 is defining the gospel or the work of the church around the world, but we do know that the church has responded to crises through its entire history. And I do want to find out how the church around the world is not just coping with this kind of pandemic, but bringing the love of Christ forward in real compassion and not being afraid of sharing the gospel and the real hope that's there in the midst of that crisis. And before we get going and talking about those things, first of all, please remind our listeners about what World Mission does. The treasure is such an incredible device and so simple in some ways, but the vision behind it is something that has captivated our listeners many times over the years and is obviously reaching tens, if not hundreds of millions of new believers around the world.
Yeah, you know, Bram, it's a real privilege for us to be a part of getting the gospel in the places where it's never been. We've spent over 20 years building infrastructures in the 1040 window where the majority of people, they live. They live in a window from Senegal to Indonesia, 9,000 miles. And World Mission has a network, literally a continuous border to border to border across those 9,000 miles going through the Middle East and India and Nepal, Sri Lanka, into Asia, where we have national leaders and they distribute our solar-powered audio Bibles that you alluded to called The Treasure that has 5,000 languages available that we can put on it. So most of these people, not only do they have access to the gospel brand, but one of the great barriers is either their illiterate condition or the fact that they're an oral learner. So they prefer to learn in a non-literate way. So we'll see 50,000 treasures in the next 12 months going into this part of the world. And
awesome.
That's exciting to us because each one represents a listening group of over 100 people. So it's very exciting.
We've talked before about every time the word of God gets somewhere, whether it's in a literate country like China, or even in Russia, places where there hasn't been a lot of evangelical presence of the church, that when the Word of God gets in a believer's hands and they commit it to their study, to their memory, when they share it with others, one Bible means many believers. And that's all the more the case in Your Treasures, which I want to reiterate is an audio Bible. It's not just an electronic Bible. So it's something that in the mother tongue of these peoples is speaking the word of God to them in their mother tongue. So it goes right to the bottom of their soul. They don't have to worry about translating in their mind, what does this really mean? They know what it means. They hear it in their ears, and therefore they hear it in their hearts. Just like the printed word in literate countries, in these illiterate countries, the spoken word gets in deep, but it gets far out as well. This is deep and wide. Believers, and more importantly, disciples of Christ, as a result of encountering the gospel through these treasures.
I think that's really the key word right there, Bram. It's disciples. Jesus didn't call us to make converts, but he called us to make disciples. And that is a long-term commitment that the body of Christ and those of us in missions, I know Compassion Radio has that passion as well. We need to be in it for the long haul. And yeah. So what these listening groups create is, because of the nature of the unreached world, the great advantage that the body of Christ has in these parts of the world, whether you're talking about North Africa, the Middle East, Southeast Asia, and the Far East, is that they're very community-oriented.
Yes.
And so they do things together. It's very natural for extended family to come together on a regular basis and share fellowship, share a meal. And so when you put an audio tool and they're sharing stories, they're talking to each other, that's how they do community. When you put a treasure in that dynamic, it's very natural. And Bram, we hear stories every week of listening groups that will last 3, 4, and even 5 hours every single day. Yeah. Where they're just gathering together and listening. It's pretty crazy.
Yeah, it seems outlandish to us, but then we think about how much time we actually sit in front of our televisions. It's not such an odd thought that we would spend our time letting a message of some kind percolate our entire lives. This is a human thing. I think the meal metaphor you brought up earlier is an important one, because when you're in a communal society, if you see people sitting down and passing something between them, the first thought that probably comes to your mind is mealtime. And it is not unusual in most of those kind of communities. If those who you know are sitting down to commune, there's probably a meal going on. Perhaps I should sit down too.
Right.
The expectation of there being community and communication is very high in these cultures. So when someone sits down with a treasure and starts sharing that with their friends, we know this to be the living word, the bread of life. This is a kind of meal which is eternal in its satisfaction. And they grasp that very quickly, do they not?
Absolutely. And you know, think about the power of, there's a scripture in 2 Timothy 2 that says, the things you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. That's
yes.
4 generations of sharing there, Bram. And so you're very right. Yeah, exactly. It's very natural. It's part of their DNA to share. And so when you put the gospel inside of that, it's like hitting dry tinder that will just throw a match on that, which is the seed of the gospel, and it can explode. We just have to position ourselves in the body to be in those environments because, yeah. as you know, they're very difficult. There's a lot of pushback. There's a lot of hostility. There's a reason why for 2,000 years there's places in the world that don't have access to the gospel. So, yes, we have an advantage, and their culture is very advantageous for the multiplication of the gospel, but we just have to be willing to pay the price in the body to invest ourselves locationally into these places.
Locationally.
Allow the Lord to do the work.
Important word there. And think about how it is trying to get to know your neighbors. If you're not sure what the culture is of the new town you've moved into, getting an invitation from somebody to sit down and have a meal with them seems like the safest place to go in order to try to actually make first contact, so to speak. It helps ease our unease about getting to know new people. So when we do that and we step into a living room and then onto the kitchen table and have a meal with somebody, it loosens everything up. So it's not the meal itself that is the struggle. Getting there is the struggle, and it is, I think, the big calling of the Great Commission. The go ye, right. therefore, is the hardest part emotionally, mentally, logistically, for any Christian or society over the course of history to fulfill that Great Commission and to be obedient to the Lord. And you're doing that. You're helping people to get the word in their hands, but also getting to the places where the welcome is, where the house of peace is. And I know we talked a little bit yesterday about how difficult it is to get into some of these unreached people groups because the welcome's not been extended, or we don't think it is. And especially the largest people group that's still unreached is right there in Bangladesh. So you went there. Tell me, first of all, who are the unreached people still in the country of Bangladesh? And what is it like to penetrate that veil and get to that table of peace and start seeing the work of the treasure of the Word of God take root there?
Bangladesh is definitely a unique country. Of all the countries that are considered densely populated, it would be by far and away the largest of the most densely populated countries in the world. I mean, you're talking about a country that's the size of my state, which is Michigan. Mm-hmm. We have about 10 million people here, Michiganders. Yeah. Well, in Bangladesh, the same size, there's 162 million people.
About half the population of the United States right there.
Exactly. And not only that, Bram, but it's positioned very interestingly. The two border countries, mainly to the west and the north, are India, which kind of drapes around it. And then in the far eastern pocket there, it borders with Myanmar. You know, what's interesting about that is Bangladesh is primarily a Muslim country to the tune of almost 90%. India, we all know, is a majority Hindu country. And then Myanmar is a majority Buddhist country. And so you've got crazy dynamics spiritually that are in that area, which make Bangladesh a real trick.
We're not talking about cultural or religious diversity in that part of the world. We're talking about cultural and religious extremism. There is a huge amount of resentment built up for centuries of conflict. And we're talking about spiritual conflict, too. I mean, there are some things that you've described to me in the past about the conflicts that happen physically, spiritually, emotionally, that are just obviously principalities and powers. This is not just about people's ideas. This is about the spiritual forces behind things. So this is not a crossroads. This is a battlefield. At least it's been perceived. So do the Christians feel the same way when they come out of that kind of darkness into the light? What do they see about the place where they live there in Bangladesh?
Well, I think when you're talking about Bangladesh, it's the same as so many other countries, is it's one country made up of many nations.
Yeah.
And so inside of that one country, Bangladesh, you've got over 330 nations inside of it. And of course, you know, the Christians are very much the minority. Most of these people groups, Bram, are nearly 100% Muslim.
Yeah.
And so when you're a Christian and you become a follower of Jesus, the greatest form of persecution, obviously, when you lose your life, that's the extreme, you know, the most extreme form of it. And that's horrible. And we hear about that, you know, on a regular basis from places. That's a radical expression of resistance, of course.
Yeah.
But I would say, put yourself in this situation where you make the decision to become a follower of Jesus and your entire family rejects you.
Yeah.
I mean, you are cut off. You are cut off from mom, dad, brother, sister. We've heard horror stories of people. It's a day we celebrate here in the West. I mean, we're jumping up and down, giving hugs and looking forward to now that journey in Christ. And over there, you're cut off from everything, family, inheritance, all of your resources, assets are taken from you. Employers are told that, hey, now this individual is a Christian and the employer will fire you.
Yeah.
These are all realities that are going on today in a place like Bangladesh that, you know, we're just not aware of because it doesn't make the daily news.
The word rejection, when we hear that word in American English, we hear about a feeling, an emotion. We feel rejected. What you're describing is overt and open rejection, more like we would use the word shun in this country. Forbidden from being able to supply the needs you might have or your families, and you're told to walk. I mean, just leave the town. And now you're really at risk because you're having to leave anybody who might have had a soft spot in their heart for you, and now you're on the run.
Yeah, exactly.
Some place of refuge to go to, and they have to seek that out. They're literally asking God to show them, where do I go so that strangers don't kill me on the way.
Yeah.
These are precarious times for Christians.
Yeah, for sure.
How many times in history has the church found itself in crisis? Sometimes we bring it on ourselves, but other times God seems to allow us to be exposed to great dangers. Friends, we have a real opportunity to trust God and to make Jesus known, and to do it by the way we respond. And that is my prayer for you today. And I'm thrilled that you continue to partner with us in times like this. This unusual media ministry that we are, bringing you the frontline kingdom news you probably won't hear much about anywhere else. Thank you for how your courage and faithful giving keep us on the air, in the arena, standing with you to help the kingdom keep growing in the 21st century. Here's how. Just visit our website, CompassionRadio.com, or call our toll-free order line, 1-800-868-2478. Our mailing address is Compassion Radio, P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. Reach out to us whatever way works for you. We can't do this work any other way than with you. If you use our website, make sure to download a copy of Michael O'Brien's beautiful rendition of Were You There? Just a few clicks and the song is yours to encourage and inspire you throughout the day on your computer, phone, or music device. You can also download his entire Crown Him album as well. Best of all, you get to name your gift to this ministry. There's no required minimum. Give as the Lord enables you and enjoy Michael's powerful, warm voice for always.
Were you there when God raised him from the grave? Were you there when God raised him from the grave? Oh, sometimes it causes me to shout hallelujah, hallelujah. Were you there when God raised him from the grave? Were you there when God raised him from the grave?
What you're describing is overt and open rejection, like we would use the word shun in this country. Forbidden from being able to supply the needs you might have or your families, and you're told to walk. I mean, just leave the town. And now you're really at risk because you're having to leave anybody who might have had a soft spot in their heart for you, and now you're on the run.
Yeah, exactly.
Some place of refuge to go to, and they have to seek that out. And literally asking God to show them, where do I go so that strangers don't kill me on the way?
Yeah.
These are precarious times for Christians.
Yeah, for sure. It's, you know, one of the things about the treasure, Bram, is that it doesn't replace an individual. And when Jesus called us to make disciples, you know, the key element is that is flesh to flesh. I mean, I'm going to journey with you. You know, you're my brother, Bram. I'm going to journey through life with you. I mean, that's a core foundational element of discipleship. But, you know, if you're the only Christian or the first Christian, if you have a treasure in your hand, oh my goodness, the stories we get of encouragement, such a beautiful instrument of building that individual up in the knowledge of who Jesus is and giving them hope and faith. And then, you know, of course, when other people come to know Christ, the way discipleship and community looks is very different. It's very sort of underground, very secretive. A lot of things we take for granted, brother, here is not the reality for millions and millions of followers of Jesus around the world, and how they do community looks very different, but it's just as authentic and real. And in some cases, it's even more genuine and authentic, because if they get found out, it's game over.
Perhaps one of the things that we're most afraid of during this time of social isolation, if we're really going to focus ourselves on being the church at home, so many of us don't feel like we've got the skill set. What do you do when you don't have a pastor there to preach at you, or a choir to sing at you, or special music to give shape to the emotions that are contained in the scriptures? These people know. When they go together to worship, it's sometimes literally underground. Other times, they're just trying to be as inconspicuous as possible around their neighbors. But at the same time, feeling God's leading, who should we bring close to this? Because they're ready to hear the gospel and receive it. But they're not sitting around just thinking. They are, in fact, worshiping. Have you sat in on some of those worship services?
I have, you know, and it's inspiring to see what God's doing inside of their hearts. And I'm not talking about people who have been saved 5, 10, you know, 20 years, gone to Bible school and had all kinds of training. I'm talking about people that are first generation, just coming to know Jesus in a matter of months. One gal who's in this situation, she came out of a Hindu background. We met with her while we were on this trip, had no Christianese, no anything, listened to the word of God, became a follower of Jesus. God supernaturally healed her. She started leading people to Christ, and we heard of 200 followers that she personally had within a 12-month time. Isn't that amazing? I mean, just because of her testimony. And what we were told is that her treasure broke. I don't know if a cow stepped on it. I don't know what happened. I mean, it's a mechanical device. But I was devastated. I thought, oh my gosh, we have to rush and get her another treasure. And the, our guys were kind of a little bit casual about it. And no, it's not that big of a deal. And I just was adamant. I said, no, we have to go. We have to make sure we get her another one. And they finally looked at me and they're like, just relax, brother. She's memorized half of that thing. And So I think that goes to your point. When they're consuming the Word of God, they have been in darkness their entire life up until that point. They have this revelation of the Son of God came to this earth, gave his life for them, and now all of a sudden, they're this living witness, and they're just absorbing the Word of God like you can't imagine. We see it over there in such a amplified way because they don't have access to it. Whereas over here, we have so much access to it. That doesn't mean we love Jesus less or anything. I think it's just the variation between that taking place in a culture where there's no access to compared to one where we have an abundance of access. It's very dramatic.
Well, I do think it's fair to say that an abundance of access is not an abundance of love necessarily. Those times that I've heard the word preached by somebody, I thought, man, that moved me. Usually what it comes down to is I realize there was a place in that sermon or during that worship service where a switch was flipped in my own heart, where I stopped thinking about that preacher, I stopped thinking about the things of the earth around me. I started hearing Jesus, and it was him talking to me in the first person. I think a lot of us have had that experience where you just knew that the Holy Spirit was really speaking or present in that situation. And you can't really put your thumb on where the person ended and God began or whatever, but something was happening there. Now, when you go to a situation where these little churches are sitting around doing nothing but hearing the Word of God spoken to them, who else are they hearing but the Spirit of God? Because it's the Word made flesh. And if they did nothing else but sit and listen to the words that were revealed to the prophets and to the gospel and to the epistle writers, that they would be full. Just listen to the Word. Of course, our best preachers, the ones that proclaim the gospel, who evangelize now, tap into that. They don't just repeat things they have heard third party. They tap into the strength and the power that's contained in the spoken word and realize that God can and will speak through me. I have to be obedient. But they don't do it in an absence or in a vacuum. They know the word of God by that point, and it just ekes out of every pore, like you were saying, this young lady that has been leading so many others to Christ because she can literally speak the word of God because it is in her. Okay, take me into Bangladesh a little bit farther now. We've talked about it being a very populous country. You told me yesterday that the biggest unreached people group in the world is there, and it's in the hundreds of millions. So tell me about the people that you're trying to reach.
The largest unreached people group in the world are called the Sheikh, otherwise known as the Bengali. So it's out of the 160-some million people in Bangladesh, it makes up 130 million of them. So almost the entire country is made up of this one single people group that all the survey work done says they're 0.00% Christian. So it goes to show you the complexities and the barriers. I mean, I'm not 1%, not 2%, it's 0%. So there's great challenge and adversity to breaking in there. But we are seeing followers of Jesus. We've seen 10 of the cell groups that turned into churches emerge from there. All of that is very under the radar, because as you can imagine, the opposition as Christians are exposed, they're incredibly sensitive. For example, we can't post anything on social media or sort of expose and celebrate things. So we have to do it a bit secretively, but God is moving, Bram, among this group. And here's the beautiful thing. When one of them becomes a follower of Jesus, they now are strategically positioned to become the best advocates for the gospel. Because they've come out of that. They've come out of that culture. They understand the language. They understand their people and the culture. And so these people are being mobilized right now by the dozens.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter if the statistics say 0.00%, and that can stay there as far as I'm concerned. But God is moving in amazing ways among the largest unreached people group in the world. We're seeing it firsthand.
Every new believer in an untouched people group is a miracle. Because it's God doing his work his way in ways that humans could not. But we're not settling for one miracle here. We're trusting God to do millions of miracles. And the treasure's right at the very heart of that. We're only halfway through this amazing adventure story with Greg Kelly of World Mission. Make sure to tune in for the latest on how the gospel is lighting a wildfire of faith at the roof of the world.
crown him and then a crown. Crown him and then a crown.
Friends, that's just one of many wonderful highlights for this season from our special guest artist, Michael O'Brien. And you can get a copy of it today. In our time of trial, we need to remember that we have millions of Christian family around the world who are praying for us. Please know that we are praying for you too. Let us know how you're praying at CompassionRadio.com. Our toll-free number is 1-800-868-2478. You can also send your gift by mail to Compassion Radio, P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. God bless you, friends. Join us for the next Compassion Radio or online at CompassionRadio.com.